Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I have good news. Jesse Romero was on Jesus 911 this morning. He announced that he has recovered from COVID-19. He and his wife got it about 10 days ago. And so they were resting and they took all the right medications to be able to survive the COVID-19, like 99% of the people who get COVID do. And on Tuesday of next week, Jesse will tell his story of how he was able to overcome that. Today's show, I really am excited because I talk about heroic priests. Boy, you know, when a priest is heroic, he brings thousands of souls to heaven. He does. And there's a Nigerian priest we're going to talk about who, just a phenomenal priest who's bringing the gospel to a place in Nigeria where Islamic terrorists have just wreaked havoc on the Catholic Church there. So that's a great story of how he's ministering. Also, I want to have another hero. This guy is a Marine hero. He's a commander. He was fired for blasting the leadership of the Marine Corps regarding the Afghanistan withdrawal. And here's a guy who lost his career. But you know what? When you hear what he has to say, why he did it, I think he's a hero in my book. Also, General Flynn. We're going to talk a little bit about how one of the banks canceled his checking account. But thanks be to God, through a lot of complaining, he got it back. So I think that's good. We got to push back. We also want to talk about critical race theory. I've got a clip I'm going to play for you that'll blow you away that you'll want to send to every single friend of yours. And we're going to be talking about the governor of Texas, what he's doing about putting a mandate on the other side where he's vaccine mandate against vaccines in Texas. And much, much more. But before we get into all of these topics, we love to take the gospel. And I'm going to give you something that you've never heard before I give you the gospel. You've heard of President Ronald Reagan, right, everybody? And you know that in the 1960s, he had a massive conversion regarding abortion. When he was the governor of California, he promoted abortion on demand. And then the good Cardinal McIntyre had dinner with him. And one holy prelate sat down and convinced Ronald Reagan to have a turnaround. Many people say, well, how did Ronald Reagan become a pro-life president? Well, it was one powerful cardinal who loved the Lord Jesus and who challenged Ronald Reagan to stand up for life, and he did. So I just thought I'd share that with you. The gospel, because today's day is the Feast of St. Viviana here in Los Angeles. That's the patron saint for our diocese. Oh, Father Murr is online with us. Great. Well, I didn't realize. I thought Friday we were doing it. That's good. Father Charles Murr, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, Terry. How you doing?
Great. Father Murr, did you hear that story about Cardinal McIntyre and how he convinced Ronald Reagan to turn away from his views on abortion and become pro-life? Were you aware of that?
I did not. No, I did not.
Yeah, Monsignor told us that story years ago, and it's very impressive that what a good holy priest or a prelate can do to help somebody see the truth of the gospel. So that's a good story. Father Murr, I have the gospel, but it's a special one, and it's from Luke chapter 9, 23 to 26, about... are you prepared, or do you want me to read the other gospel for the regular day? It's up to you. Which one do you want to read?
Well, I've got the gospel, Luke 4, 38, 44. No.
Let's do that today. One then. You got it. Let's do it.
No, and if you've got a more interesting one.
Well, you know why? There. It's the special one that we picked for a mass today for St. Viviana. It's short, and I think you're going to like it. So let me read the gospel,
okay,
and then you give
ahead.
The commentary.
Go ahead.
Gospel of according to Luke chapter 9, 23 to 26. Jesus said to all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Praise
Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Pretty hard-hitting, Father. I want to hear your take on that one.
Well, that's the most beautiful gospel.
I think
that's
so.
The most beautiful gospel. It, you know what? We've got a gospel that we call the Proto Evangelio.
That's right.
Anyway, I'm getting a little.
You're talking about. Go ahead. The John.
No, to me, this particular gospel that you read.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
This to me is the core of the of all the gospels.
Of course.
It's just what you read. That's if you could. Everything in Scripture is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, but if you would have to get rid of everything, mm-hmm. don't get rid of what you just read.
I hear you.
That's the center. That is it. Because it's about the cross.
Yes.
It's about the cross, and it's about accepting that, and going out to carry that. You know, I'm just whenever I hear that, I remember. So many people that I've counseled over the years.
Yes.
Who come to me. I don't know why they come to me. I think they come to me. I think they come to me because I've got a sense of humor and.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of see the upside of life, whatever.
Yeah.
But they come to me with depression.
Yeah, I believe it. People are attracted to you, Father. I can tell you that right now. I know you. They are.
It's something.
Yeah.
The poor things, the poor dears. Anyway, they come with the problem today is depression. Everybody's
right.
suffering from depression or bipolar, what
yep.
you call it, or right
yep.
panic depression. And I say the same thing to you. I question to find out what's going on, and there most of them are, just about all of them are the same thing. They're worried about themselves and they're not getting better.
Yes.
And I do my best, my utmost to convince them to stop worrying about themselves and get out and take care of other people.
Yep.
And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, this afternoon, go to a nursing home. You know some in town.
Sure.
And ask if there's anything you can do. Is there someone you can visit? Well, I wouldn't know what to say. Of course you will. Talk. As a matter of fact, in those cases, it's better you don't say too much. Listen. Just listen.
Absolutely.
Reach out. When you stop worrying so much about yourself
yep.
and your own fulfillment is when you become fulfilled.
Yep.
Right? It's like so many things that God gave us.
Yep.
The reason he gave those things to us was to use them, was to spend them. Right, not to keep them. Right,
you bet.
And that's it. But the, you know, and how strong are those words? I've got to disagree with one thing, Terry. I don't like the translation.
Sure.
I don't like the translation you use.
Okay.
I like the translation that ends with, "What profit a man to gain the entire world and lose his soul?"
Yeah, that's how I remember it being said. Isn't
yeah.
that interesting?
Well, that's the way it should be. They like to keep fiddling with translation so that none of us can really memorize anything and keep it in our head. It's amazing. It's just amazing. And the next thing you know, they'll be changing the Our Father.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Father, one thing I want to mention, St. Jerome says a commentary on this verse, and I thought it was very insightful. He said, not only in time of persecution or when we have a chance of martyrdom, but in all circumstances, in everything we do and think, in everything we say, let us deny what we used to be and let us confess what we now are, reborn as we have been in Christ. And he says, do you see the daily cross? No day without a cross, not a single day in which we are not to carry the cross of the Lord, in which we are not to accept his yoke. And then I thought this was very interesting on the commentary that says, there's no doubt about it. A person who loves pleasure, who seeks comfort, who flies from anything that might spell suffering, who is over anxious that you were talking about, who complains, who blames, and who becomes impatient, at least little thing, which does not go his way. A person like that is a Christian only in name. You know who said that? Jose Maria Escrivar, who died back in 75. The bottom line is what Sheen said. Without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. The cross.
That's
and,
right.
And Father, you said go out, help your neighbor, you know, to help you over your depression. That's what Fulton Sheen said on Life is Worth Living, his first CD. Who's your neighbor? The one who's in need. And I think that's probably something that's hurting because so many people with this COVID-19 are stuck at home and they're thinking about themselves rather than their neighbor. That's my take.
Yeah, you know, my dad had a saying that he used often enough that I remember it.
Yeah.
I remember being at a dining room table. Our dining room table for dinner.
I love it.
Was my gosh, that was where we learned everything.
Yeah,
everything.
God bless.
From theology to philosophy to table manners.
Well, what did he say?
He said, when I was a boy, he had a rough childhood.
Okay.
Rough childhood, and during the depression, and the father abandoned the home and.
Hang on a second, Father. I want this comment about your father at the dinner table to come back after this quick break because that's a good teaser for everybody. You won't want to miss what Father Murr's father used to tell him because I'll tell you what, as he said, he learned everything at the dinner table. I think that's a good thing to do. We'll come right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I want to say Father Charles Murr is sitting in for Jess today. I'm happy he is. And he's going to be here on the 18th of September for a conference on St. Joseph. So if you want to come, go to vmpr.org and sign up. He's also going to have another priest there named Father Wozniewski from Chicago. And we also have my wife there, and it's all about St. Joseph. Call 877-526-2151 to register. Father Murr, you're talking about your father at the dinner table with some great advice. So that was I'm on the edge of my chair. What did your father tell you about life?
Yeah, let me just give you the background. My grandparents,
yes,
my dad's father, mm-hmm, abandoned his family at the height of the Depression.
Wow.
Just walked away from his wife and five kids. The last thing my dad remembered about his father, my grandmother ran sort of a store, a mom and pop store, mm-hmm, right, a grocery store. And my grandfather, my dad's dad, picked him up by the seat of his pants and put him inside of the candy counter.
Oh my gosh.
To let him eat. He said, eat all the candy you want. Right. And with that, he left. Anyway, they had a hard time. Right.
Yeah.
But he said one time at the dinner table, many times, and he means it. He meant it every time. He said, I used to complain about not having a new pair of shoes. Until I met a man who didn't have any feet.
Yeah.
Right? And that didn't make sense to me too much when I was a kid. I heard it. I said, oh, you met a man without any feet. That's too bad. But I got it later on.
Sure.
Stop moaning and groaning about your petty problems. Get out and help people with real ones.
Great advice.
That's you want to be happy? That's it.
Yep.
That's the key to it.
Great advice.
You want to be sad? You want to be sad and miserable? Sit at home and mope and think about all the problems that are yours or at your doorstep. That's the key to sadness. You want that? That's the key. Yeah, and I can't understand why people don't see that.
Yeah. Well,
maybe they do see it, Terry. It's sort of like I can't understand why more people don't convert to Catholicism.
Right.
And I do understand it. It's not that they can't follow the faith that doesn't make sense to them, even though they say that's the reason. That's not the reason. The real reason they don't convert is because it requires a change in their life.
Exactly. You nailed it.
That's really it. You know it and I know it.
Yep.
And they know it. Well, this is also the reason that people don't stop moaning and complaining and getting out of depression.
Yep.
They like being there.
Yep.
They like being there. And the solution to it would require some action on their part, and they're not willing to give it. That's it.
Well, Father, your father sounded like my mother would always say that to us kids when we come back from school and we'd have some story at the dinner table where a kid treated us wrong or did this, said that. And my mom would always say, are you going to let that get you down or not? I mean, come on. I mean, words right. mean, you know, come on. So she had a similar approach. Father Murr, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who I quote all the
Please
time.
Do.
Let's bring that Full Sheen ahead. And remember, everybody, we now have a new YouTube channel called Full Sheen Ahead, quotes from Bishop Sheen. Okay, this is on the issue of if one accepts the false philosophy of life, that there is no absolute distinctions between right and wrong, that good and evil depends solely upon one's point of view, that the individual himself is determinant of the virtue or vice, and then adds to it some very evil deeds in keeping with that philosophy, it will not be long until the conscience is drugged and even killed. That day is today, Bishop Sheen. I think about this, Father Murr. I want to play a little clip on the critical race theory, and that's a situation where I think, you know, they brought this up, this critical race theory up, and said, hey, you know, woe is me again. You know, you're talking about me, everybody against me. So I think you're the one who sent this to me, actually, Father, this clip, because you send things to me periodically. Maybe not, but I get hundreds of people who send me clips. So I'd like to ask you, Father Murr, to listen to this, and then I want to hear your I want to hear your take about absolutes. What about Sheen saying that, you know, right and wrong, if there's no bar for what is right and wrong, chaos comes. I think that's...
I'd like to begin my comments tonight by reading a quote, which in essence is the genesis of all of this Black Lives Matter, social justice, CRT conversations we're having in our country today. Quote, I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color, close quote. Colin Kaepernick, August 2016. I am the direct descendant of the North American slave trade. Both my parents are black, all four of my grandparents are black, all eight of my great-grandparents, all 16 of my great-greats. On my mother's side, my ancestors were enslaved in Alabama. On my father's side, we were enslaved in Texas. I am not oppressed. I'm not oppressed, and I'm not a victim. I'm neither oppressed nor a victim. I travel all across this country of ours, and I check into hotels, and I fly commercially, and I walk into retail establishments, and I order food in restaurants. I go wherever I want, whenever I want. I am treated with kindness, dignity, and respect, literally from coast to coast. I have three children. They are not oppressed either, although they are victims. I've taught my children they are victims of three things: their own ignorance, their own laziness, and their own poor decision making. That is all. My children, we are not victims of America. We are not victims of some unseen 190-year-old force that kind of floats around in the ether. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is taking our nation in the wrong direction. Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support. And sadly, very sadly, one of those institutions is the American education system. I can think of nothing more damaging to a society than to tell a baby born today that she has grievances against another baby born today simply because of what their ancestors may have done two centuries ago. There is simply no point in doing that to our children, and putting critical race theory into our classrooms in part does that. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is not combating racism, it's fanning the flames of what little embers are left. I encourage you to support this resolution. Let racism die the death it deserves, and let's keep living the life of the country that we want. Thank you.
Wow. You know, when I heard this gentleman speak,
pretty
I thought...
Pretty good, right? I sent you that yesterday, Terry.
Yeah, I thought you did, but I had several people sending it to me because they were so moved by it. And I know, I said...
But Terry, nobody sent it to you better than me.
No, of course not, Father. Of course not. But Father, when you saw that video, obviously you sent it to others, like including myself, but didn't he just nail it? I mean, what did he...
Oh, absolutely. 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 You know, it's Marxism, I'm going to tell you something, if I may.
Sure.
Marxism is a horrible, horrible infection. If Fulton J. Sheen had one major cause, mm-hmm. if he could just narrow it down to one,
sure.
it would be anti-communist
mm-hmm.
for many reasons, because he saw what it was bringing. Yep. He knew what it carried. He knew it. And I saw it for years. I saw it for years, especially in Latin America. Years. You know, we had communism works this way. Marx is simply the man who wrote the theory.
Yeah.
Right? Karl Marx.
Yeah.
Communism is his theory. Fine. Call it whatever you want to. Socialism, communism, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's the same garbage.
Yeah.
What it does, it has to find a subject matter, and it has to cause division.
Yep.
It has to get in like a wedge and cause division. It has to do that. In Latin America, Asia, Africa, in poorer countries, that division is already there automatically. Unfortunately, it's a division between the poor and the rich. And there is, as the gospel says, a chasm between ye and me that you can't get from this side to there nor
yes.
that side from here.
Yes.
It's a big, big thing. It did that, and so when the Marxists invaded Latin America with above all, not just Marxism, but theology of liberation.
Exactly.
That's
Leonardo
another,
Buff.
That's
uh-huh.
a subject for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's terrible what they've done to Christianity. It really is terrible what they've done to Christianity. What they did was they talked about their love for the poor. And so many priests talk about their love for the poor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't see an awful lot of them, the same ones who were talking about their love for the poor, living with the poor.
Yeah.
See that?
Exactly.
I didn't see that. You know, it wasn't so much that they loved the poor. It was that they hated the rich.
Yes. You nailed it.
Right?
You nailed it.
That was really the hatred. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their love for the poor. The poor could die and be run over by cars or anything else. They didn't care. They didn't go to their funerals. They didn't go to the rosaries, to the wakes. I did that many times to people I didn't know. But the ones who preached all of this social discord, they had no time for those kind of things. They were too busy campaigning. The problem that they had, now that's easy to do. That's easy to do because we're so given to sin and to the fallen nature. And one of the parts that's so easy to manipulate with any of us is jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
I can make you jealous of this one and jealous of that one and for whatever reason, and it's bitter. It goes deep. Well, when you've already got the division like that existing, to get the poor jealous and envious of the rich is that takes no talent at all. That's easy.
Well said.
They had a problem when they came to the United States. When Marxism came to the United States probably in the 1890s and in the 1920s, different waves of immigration,
mm-hmm.
when it came here, they had a problem sowing the seeds of division. Why? Because the United States of America, like no place else on earth, that's why it is and it will always be God's grace,
mm-hmm.
this nation, God's grace, special grace. The United States of America had what is called a middle class.
Yep.
They couldn't penetrate that.
That's
they couldn't
the key.
Divide.
That's the key. When we come back,
they had to hit what? Racism.
Exactly. This has all been documented in many good books on this. And Father Murray, you're nailing it. When we come back, I want to also talk about a heroic Nigerian priest who is challenging Boko Haram up in Nigeria with the gospel. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr sitting in with for Jesse. And we've been talking about a heroic Catholic priest. I like role models. I think we need more good role models. I said earlier in the show that one holy priest can bring thousands of souls to heaven, and one weak priest will just do the opposite, one who doesn't believe. So I think Monsignor George Kelly wrote a beautiful book back in the late 70s, The Battle for the American Church. Where is it taking? Where is it going? Where its leaders take them. And a priest is so important at a parish. This is a Nigerian priest. He appeared on a video post on LifeSite News that you can watch this. Father Innocent Suna is a priest who immediately after being ordained was willing to go to one of the most dangerous places in the world to serve his faithful. It's a town there in Nigeria. It's located at the edge of Sambusa Force, where the Boko Haram frequently carry out mass killings and mass abductions of Christians in neighboring towns and villages. Here's the interesting thing. This priest was ordained in 2017, less than a year after two female suicide bombers detonated themselves, killing 57 people and injuring over 100. Now, in addition, check this out, Father Murr. How would you like to go to a parish where the four previous Catholic pastors had been murdered? I mean, give me a break. And he says, send me there. I can't wait to go serve those people. And this, he says, I work in a place where the light of the gospel has been met with the darkness of hell. He explains, but before ending the note, he says this, a note of hope. Darkness has not overcome it. And I will say a little bit more, but Father Murr, when you run into a priest like this, who's so heroic, it inspires not only the lay people, but doesn't that inspire you as a Catholic priest?
Well, yeah, because he believes in something.
Exactly. Got it.
When you see someone who believes in something, really, you know what? I even admire people who believe in the wrong thing.
I do too. I give them credit. The Mormons are out door knocking.
Yeah, because at least they're doing something. They've got some fire.
Exactly.
In them, right?
I agree with you.
But when you have a priest like this who's willing to lay everything on the line, it's wonderful. Wonderful.
And you know, Father, you just talked about liberation theology at the last segment and how this really just destroyed the church in South America and Central America. And can you imagine if you had a priest like this in Nigeria be out there in South America? Because this is a priest who obviously sees the value of saving souls, and he's willing to risk his own life to share the gospel. And I just think this whole article, I want to encourage people to go contribute to it. Lifefunder.com is the website. And I need to do that. I haven't done that, and I got to do that because I want to support those folks in Nigeria. Every Catholic priest I've met from Nigeria, maybe you have some up in your neck of the woods, but they're all very, very good men. And it seems to me, Father Murr, that persecution brings holiness in God's people.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question because you come face to face with what's important.
Yeah.
And when you come face to face with something that requires from you an answer, mm-hmm. yay or nay, are you willing to give your life for this? And you say yes to that.
Yeah.
Of course, it changes. It changes everything about you.
So let's
for the good, I might add.
Yeah, for the good. Let's pray for our church in Nigeria because they are under persecution. And yeah, I'll tell you one other thing about the church in Nigeria. It's growing fast, and it's interesting here in America. We've had such a nice sitting where we just kind of went to sleep at the wheel, and now we're finding that, hey, nobody's in church. So I think that we can learn something from the Nigerian church, and that we have to stand up for our faith. Talking about standing up for our faith, Father Murr, there's another one, a Marine. He's a lieutenant, Now he's not. He's been court-martialed, but Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, he was fired after he uploaded a video on YouTube in which he demanded accountability from the U.S. military leaders for the way they messed up the Afghanistan withdrawal. Father Murr, you may not agree with everything with this young man. He's not that young, but he's been 17 years as a Marine. And he said, I'm willing to throw it all out where I lose my pension. I'm 3 years away from that. And here's what he said that I thought was really, really powerful. He said, I want to say this very strongly. I have been fighting for 17 years. I'm willing to throw it all away to say to my senior leaders, I demand accountability. In the video, he said he had a close relationship with one of the 13 service members who were killed Thursday in the suicide bombing at the gate. Maybe that turned him out right there. He said he is not the only service member who is upset with how the withdrawal was handled. He said, I'm not saying we got to be in Afghanistan forever, but I am saying, did any of you throw your rank on the table and say, hey, it's a bad idea to evacuate this Bear Graham Air Base? It's a strategic air base before we evacuate everyone. Did anyone do that? And when you didn't think to do that, did anyone raise their hand and say, we completely messed this up? Well, I think he's just upset, obviously, for weak leadership. And I kind of relate that, Father Murr, and I know this might not be appropriate, but I kind of relate that in my own church right now with some weak leadership. And I say, come on, guys, where's the accountability?
Oh, really?
Yes, I do. Give me your thoughts.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. First of all, this man by giving 20 years of his life in military service deserves our respect.
Absolutely.
Respect to be heard. Respect to at least be heard. Right?
Yep.
And if I'll tell you what, you know what's so discouraging about this? And I see it. I agree with you.
Tell me.
It's quite visible in the church.
I think
it's the same thing.
I think so.
Where you don't have leadership, this gives rise to conspiracy theories.
Yeah, it does.
Why? Because people are trying to figure out why in the world, what's the matter with you that you're not acting?
Yep.
You're not acting. You're not doing it right. You're not taking a stand. You're not moving. You're not guiding. You're not leading.
Right.
What's behind that? Something has to be behind that. I've heard just recently, by leaving all of the equipment behind, just the military equipment behind, the billions of dollars worth of equipment, people are already saying, people are saying, this is common talk, I hear it all over, that this was no accident, that it was left there for a purpose. And it's because nobody answers that, nobody responds to that, it makes that accusation sound even more feasible.
Yeah.
This is the problem when you don't have leadership. If it's not that way, get a leader who will stand up and say, it is not that way for this reason. Here's the deal.
Yep.
We've got the same thing going on in the church.
I agree.
When we have bishops, including bishops all over the world, let me just put it that way. Let me cover all bases.
Yeah.
Who will stand up and pronounce heresy?
Right.
They're not misspeaking. They're speaking clearly, and it's wrong.
Right.
Wrong speak. And refused to clarify what they said. Clear it up. This is a tremendous lack of responsibility, but also a terrible lack of leadership.
Yeah.
Terrible. Well, you can't do that to people. And it's being done in our government. It's being done in our church. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's being done in our own families.
Yeah.
No, our father doesn't want to take responsibility. Mother doesn't want to take responsibility. No, it's unbelievable. Is really lacking. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. Yeah.
Well, earlier in the show, I gave an example of strong leadership in the church when Cardinal McIntyre got Ronald Reagan as the governor of California to turn his around with the issue of abortion. He was for abortion. The cardinal went and had dinner with him and gave him lots of good information on why he should be pro-life, and that I'm sure he probably put a little fear of God in him too, because that helps from where I come from. And then he now Ronald Reagan, look what he did to stand up for the unborn. Now, here's a situation. We've got a Catholic in the White House by name, President Biden, and
Aquino.
Yeah, there you go. Now, in Washington, D.C., we have a cardinal there who says, I'm not going to give him Holy Communion. Well, you see, I think that's weak leadership. Okay, not only that, that's sinful. And so I would ask the cardinal to do what Cardinal McIntyre did, persuade him about, he's a Catholic. I think this, and maybe it's because of canon law, but the jurisdiction where President Biden sits, the cardinal is responsible for the salvation of all the Catholics in his diocese. So it seems to me that he needs to go and try and convince all Catholics to live out their faith, including President Biden. So I just think that this is what we need right now, rather than just saying, well, you know, let's look the other way, wink, you know, let's just wink here and say it's okay to do this. This is the challenge I see right now in the church, where we need to stand up and push back as lay people, especially. I know priests can't do a whole lot because they have faculties and all that, but we lay people, Canon 212 gives us the authority to call out the priests, the bishops, and say, look, what are you doing? Come on, let's get back into the perennial teachings of the church. Father Murr, there's another General Michael Flynn, who's a Catholic, and he said that a major...
I like Michael Flynn.
Oh, good. I never met him, but I... Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the story when we come back. The Chase Bank said that they informed him that his bank account would be canceled due to his reputation risk to the company. Well, a lot of complaints came about, and when we come back,
Lord,
from the break, you're going to hear some good news, because guess what? Chase Bank did something that I didn't expect to happen, but why did they do it? It's the same reason. People, we have to push back on things that are not being done properly and in a very orderly way, because when you hear what happened to General Flynn about his bank account, you're going to say, well, wow, that means... We shouldn't be sitting back. We should be pushing back. You're hearing this on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. We'll be back with more to inspire you.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. And I wanted to just mention, we got a church militant calling in right now to talk about the news, so I'm waiting for them to get in. But I also wanted to just mention that the situation with the general, he actually pushed back hard enough and got the folks at Chase Bank to say that they made a mistake and that he's back in the saddle. So my point is about, we have to push back in the culture right now. That's how we are going to win this battle, through prayer, you know, reparation, all that. But we have to stand up. And I can't think of a better group who's standing up right now and exposing error with the truth as Church Militant. And I want to welcome, I see on the screen, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, my brother. I forget your first name. Can you give it, please?
Yeah, Brad.
Brad, I see you all the time, Brad. I couldn't remember. I'm a senior moment. Brad, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. This is annual. Every Wednesday, we want you guys to talk about what's going on with the news, Catholic news, and how we can be better informed. So I'd like to turn it to you and say, what are you guys going to be doing for tonight?
Well, we're going to keep the focus on Afghanistan. You know, a fake Catholic, Joe Biden, a transcript just recently dropped, and about how he was talking with the former, now deposed, president of Afghanistan, and saying, hey, let's make it look, this is in July. I know it's going bad over there for you guys, but let's make it look like you're holding your own. You don't need U.S. troops over there. It's all about the posturing. Okay, can you believe it? And then he comes out later and says, you know, no one could have foreseen the rapid demise of the Afghan army and how quickly things fell. So here we have a transcript, right, of the actual phone call.
Sure.
And we're going to be going over that in the timeline there. But, you know, if you give up your faith, you're in the tank for killing babies, you know, 3,000 babies a day to stay in office for the last 50 years. You shouldn't be surprised at all that he would, you know, posture this way. And the next thing is, you know, he lied and troops died. You're failing to hold the security over there, even for your own troops, let alone the Americans and the allies. And 13 servicemen died because a suicide bomber to get through the perimeter. So now you have blood on your hands there because, you know, you failed as commander in chief.
Yes.
You actually not only not foresee the problem, but actually posture in a different way to make the whole place insecure. So that's actually led to what happened, even to rub salt into the wound. The second story is that the Taliban themselves were actually going through mock funerals yesterday.
Really?
Mock funerals with U.S. and British flags draped over coffins.
Wow.
So that really, you know, how are you going to destroy the morale of servicemen and that, you know, any more than that? At this supreme moment when we're honoring the fallen soldiers and you know, looking for their, you know, be praying for them. We should. I'd hope that, you know, the people to tune in to your show would be praying for the deceased, but also for those who've lost their loved ones in Afghanistan, repose the soul of all those who've died there, but also for those who are stuck behind. You know what fate
Amen.
Is waiting them.
Yes.
And a lot of prayers needed out there, and also for the demoralized servicemen who have to witness all this. The third story, turning away from Afghanistan for a minute. Third story. Actually, still is overseas in Rome, the North American College, the NAC, our U.S. seminary presence in Rome, going full woke. Yesterday, the memo from the rector canceling all traditional Latin mass, or TLMs, no longer there. Not only that, but no longer training seminarians. Won't even be allowed to train seminarians in the traditional rite. And on top of all that, requiring the jab, the vaccine, COVID vaccine, for seminarians who are returning this fall, so the seminarians aren't going back because they don't want to get the jab.
Right.
You know, in the whole spirit of Amoris Laetitia, follow your conscience, right? And if you're homosexual or contracepting or, you know, divorced, remarried, and all this type of stuff, you're good to go, your conscience is yours. You know, out on the periphery, smell like the sheep and all that. But hey, if you object to being vaxxed with a tainted vaccine, morally tainted vaccine, then you know, that's a bridge too far for the church. So
I get it.
You know, what do you do?
Yeah, Brad, this because I've read Vatican II documents where it says that all priests, all lay people are supposed to know their parts of the Mass in Latin. I've read the documents. Let's just be honest. You know, this is the spirit of Vatican II that they're saying. And, you know, this idea that even in Rome, you can't even buy your liturgy of hours back in Latin. You can't buy sacramentaries in Latin. Last month I went and picked up a couple extra ones just to have them because I knew they weren't going to be available. So I just think that, you know, will the real Vatican II please stand up? And what you're showing here is we've got the spirit of Vatican II coming right from the Vatican. And let's just be honest, let's call them out on it. Let's say, wait a minute, that's not what Vatican II says. So I think that if we push back with our prayers and our actions, that there's going to be a pushback that I think will help Holy Mother the Church. We're not doing this because we want to be right. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do, Brad. And that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there with regard to the spirit of Vatican II. Well, we actually have to look at what the 16 documents said.
Yeah.
The first document to roll out was Sacro Sanctum Concilium.
That's right.
Latin shall be retained. It was the document of the liturgy.
That's
Latin
right.
shall be retained.
Yep.
Gregorian chant.
Yes,
prime shall be given
place.
A place of precedence. Okay,
right.
So clearly the Council Fathers said in the first document that rolled out in 63, 62 or 63, the very first document to roll out of the Council on the liturgy said Latin shall be retained, Gregorian chant, place of precedence, you know.
You got it.
So you're absolutely right.
All right, well, listen, folks can listen to that every single day by going to Church Militant's website. And not only that, I want to give one more plug. That video on the Holy Eucharist that Michael has been promoting on your website, I want to encourage people to watch that because You know, the Mass is the source and summit of the Christian life. We need to understand the Mass more and more. So I appreciate everything you're doing.
Brad and Terry.
Yes, Brad. There's Father Murr. Father Murr, go ahead.
Still there?
Yes, go ahead, Father Murr.
I just wanted to say, especially to Brad, because he's younger than you and I, Terry.
That's correct.
He's going to live to see the day when this turns around and bites them all right in the derriere. This attitude that they've got with the Latin Mass.
Yes, I agree.
Because it is growing. It is growing like you can't believe. And people have had enough. They've had enough.
And Father Murr, let's give a plug for that video. What's the name of that video you and I did a show last week on?
Mass of the Ages.
Mass of the Ages.
Mass of the Ages.
Beautifully done.
Everybody should see that.
Yep. Brad, again, I want to thank you for joining us every Wednesday. You people from the Church Militant, we always want to promote your shows, your newscasts, because people need to be high-information Catholics, and they'll do that with Church Militant. Thanks so much, Brad.
Thanks, sir.
God love you. Father Murr, I just wanted to touch base with the end of the show to just say that as Catholics right now, we are in the time of our life. We've got not only the issue with the world, the devil, and the flesh, but we have challenges in our church. And I think that, like, for example, every Thursday night, tomorrow night, we pray for priests, bishops, and the Pope in front of the Blessed Sacrament. For I'd say this is what I honestly say, Father Murr, that the priests and bishops and the Holy Father will confirm us in our faith. Because I'm not asking for them to have good health. I'm sorry. I'm asking them to confirm us in our faith, because if they have good health and they don't confirm us in the faith, what good is that?
That's right. And the word salvation means good health.
Yeah, there you go.
Salvation. Right.
That's funny. Well, Father, last thing I want to plug. You've got I don't know if you want to tell everybody, but you still got a couple books out already, but you got a new one coming out. Do you want to even tease anybody about that new book? Or should we just...
Oh, I suppose a tease, yes.
Yeah.
A tease, yes. It's we're working hard on it, and it's being edited right now. Mm-hmm. I think it should be out in a month or so.
Okay.
And it's good. It's good. I'm happy with it. It's
good.
A true story. True story, because you know what, Terry?
Tell me.
I've got an idea. I've got a feeling.
Yeah.
In me, in my 70s now, that I'm not going to live forever.
You think?
Something is telling me. Yeah. Something is telling me. And I want to get a few things that have happened in life that I think are worthwhile sharing. I want to get them out.
Yeah.
And this book is very much about that. It's about the year of the three popes.
Oh yeah, this is awesome. Yeah.
And what happened with that? And it's taken from the viewpoints of Cardinal Edward Gagnon, Cardinal Benelli, Monsignor Marini, Mario Marini, Cardinal Felici, all of these people who were very savvy about what was happening. And I don't think it's been put out, these things, all together by anyone.
I know that. That's a fact.
I don't think so. Because, well, I haven't. I've been very careful because, you know, there are a lot of things that are told to you outside of it's outside of the sacrament of confession. Okay, mm-hmm. so it's not. We're not talking about the seal of confession binding you, but there are sometimes you have to be prudent as a priest, even when it has nothing to do with the confessional.
Of course, and this is one time. I get
right?
it.
They're just a prudence of not saying things.
Sure.
I think today, with the colossal mess that we are in, and I think it's a colossal mess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not just a mess. This is a colossal mess. People are out to destroy the church, and they're inside the church destroying.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
I think that some things should be made clear. How we got here. You and I were talking last week about the Mass of the Ages, which is a fantastic documentary that every Catholic should see.
Sure.
Even non-Catholics. But the episode 2 of that deals with how we got here.
Yeah.
Where did you see that one comes out?
It'll Can't wait. Can't wait. I want to also welcome Bread of Life, a new radio show, a station picking up our show today. If you have other people that you know want to pick up these shows on other AM, FM stations, just contact vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Up next, Matt Arnold coming up on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you can't get this on your station, go to our vmpr.org website, download the free app so you can listen to it. Father Murr, I asked Jesse this question. What state should we be living in?
The state of grace.
Of course, state of grace, and that's what we all want. It hasn't been to confession in the last 30 days. That's my recipe. If it's over 30 days, it's too long. Get the confession. It's good for the soul. Again, I want to thank all of you for joining us here, having this conversation on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us. Matt Arnold coming up. May God richly bless you and your family. And as I say, full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful.